This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 192, recorded Monday, March 24th, 2014, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. To another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast, which may or may not have a Jerry Jones on it, because he doesn't hear a thing I'm saying again. Apparently, my kazoo seems to overload Skype every time. We will redial Jerry Jones. You are now joining a podcast already in progress.
Hello.
Hello. Once again, my kazoo playing has overloaded Skype.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, it seems whenever I hit the high note, Skype lowers the volume and you can't hear me.
That's funny. And you can't just like pop up the control and slide the little thing back over?
I don't even see one. It seems easier to redial. It seems to reset itself.
Okay.
Anyway, welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. Now with properly audioed Jerry Jones.
Hello.
Yes, and it's a very exciting day here at the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woohoo!
Well, it's a very special day for one of our former guests.
Yeah?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. I don't know anything.
Do you remember a man named Daniel Fry?
I do.
I believe that my phone told me that today is his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Daniel. Dan?
Yes. So hopefully he is out there celebrating. And if not... I don't know exactly how old he is, so I couldn't have spilled the beans on that.
He is 24 years old.
You sure?
I'm sure that's the answer if anybody asks.
Okay. I didn't know. I thought he was older than I was, but I wouldn't want to intrude on his privacy and his right to be younger than I am. I'm sure there's a right to that, right?
Not in America.
In America, people don't have the right to be younger than me?
Oh, I thought you meant privacy. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I have my Nexus 5 here.
As useless as it is.
It's very useful. It has a SIM card.
Is it holding down papers?
Why are you going to tell me that you don't find your Nexus 5 useful?
I thought you haven't activated it yet.
No, I told you I hadn't ported my number. I do have a temporary number in the 718 area code, which no one knows but me. Actually, wait a minute. I don't even know what the number is for this phone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I piped my Google Voice number into it.
Ah.
So.
With a pipe.
Pipes are fine. You know, then there's the wrench. But, you know, the wrench is only useful if you're Colonel Mustard and you're trying to kill Mr. Body in the conservatory. Never mind. I've said too much.
Too much, I've said you.
Yes. So I am now on par with you, Jerry.
Congratulations.
I was more disappointed when Kevin McLaughlin, right after the show, sent a message saying he wanted to buy a red Nexus 5 and would sell me his black one.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, listen to the episode. I just clicked the purchase button on air. But I want to thank him publicly for the offer. Also, I want to thank him. He sent over a lovely donation by Google Wallet. And it will be put to good use paying my taxes. Do you realize, Jerry, you're self-employed to some degree. You work at home and you have a side business.
Yes.
My side business is this. And because I got revenue that I declared.
You declared it?
Isn't that required by law? I made money. They sent me a tax form. I put it in. Despite the fact you are a contributor on the show, I'm listed as a sole proprietor.
I need to list. Okay, so for me, it's not income. For me, it's a gift.
Exactly, but because I do the ads for the show, the ads constitute income. Okay, so I had to declare them on my taxes.
Okay. But what's that got to do with the... That doesn't have anything to do with the extraordinarily generous...
No, I just said I was going to use the
donation we just received.
I was going to use the money to pay my self-employment tax. I didn't know I was self-employed until I found out that I have to pay self-employment tax.
Mm.
This is why I hired an accountant. I'd probably get arrested for tax evasion. I sent him all the documents and he figured it out.
Oh, that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have a CPA next year.
I know a good one.
I should probably start by hiring one this year and say, ha ha, dude, you're in charge of my taxes next year.
Well, you can. You're probably more complicated than I am. You have children, spouses. My taxes. That's
only one.
Yeah. How about we go with the more general dependents? But either way, last year my accountant called me and said, your taxes are so much more complicated than they were last year. I'm raising your rate. I have to find out whether or not he did it this year. You know, everybody needs a piece. But thanks to the Weneca Media Group, I owe $14 in taxes.
$14?
Yes.
That's not bad.
That's state tax. Apparently the state is less forgiving than the federal government. Go figure. I'm going to have to go and write my governor. But anyway.
I don't pay state taxes. Well, state income taxes. I'm sure I make up for it in property taxes.
I don't have any property. Well, actually, I have a car. But anyway, I don't own. I rent. But moving back to the subject at hand, technology, Nexus 5. Maybe today we'll talk about some watches.
Watches.
Yes, I'm prepared for it. But there's some interesting news. Consumers will get voice over LTE phones, but apparently the real target for the technology is business. So apparently with a business, there are all sorts of cool things you can do using VoLTE.
VoLTE.
Voice over LTE.
Okay, voice over LTE. All right.
So it's Volt.
Volt.
Volty.
Now let's just go with Volt.
The E is silent? Okay. But basically, it's no longer, you know, the traditional circuit switch type information, which means essentially
it could be Vic Volty. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
You know, so, Nick Nolte, Vic Volty. Yes.
I'm aware.
Okay.
I'm just going to point out, do you hear my hysterical laughter?
Yeah, not really, no.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm laughing on the inside, Jerry. I have to say that time I wasn't. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay.
Not all my jokes are funny. It's a numbers game.
Okay. You feel if you keep throwing them out, eventually one will be?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, it's the same basic idea that they use for television. So by shutting down 2G networks, that spectrum can be added to LTE. And LTE is essentially all data and none of the traditional paradigms. So basically everything is essentially VoIP. And since everything is VoIP, then you could have multiple numbers. Suddenly you can have all these other functions you couldn't have before.
Woo!
Well, it would be interesting for me. I'm very worried about Google Voice. I think Google's going to kill it.
Sadly, I'm forced to believe you. I don't see it as a money-making proposition, even though it is awesome.
Well, there are two problems. One, I see that they're going to take Google Voice and roll into Hangouts. But that means that the utility of Google Voice for me may go away.
Yeah, because you're not allowed into Google Plus.
Well, that's Plus, not Hangouts.
Oh.
I'm sure.
Well, isn't Hangouts, to get into Hangouts, don't you have to be on Plus?
No. I've messaged you on Hangouts, and I don't have a Plus account attached to my guru address.
Oh, okay.
But basically, the issue is that they'll probably allow text messaging from the app. They already do that. SMS is integrated into Hangouts now. But will the full functionality of a virtual phone number carry forward into Hangouts? Probably not the way that it is now. But what's the competition? What is the Google Voice competitor?
I don't think there is one. Not really. I mean, there's other telephony VoIP type things, but...
Telephony.
Yeah, telephony.
No, telephony's... I don't know. It sounds bad.
It explains what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I don't know why the word telephony bothers me.
Because you're against telephones?
No, but it's telephony. I don't know why that pronunciation sounds silly to me.
I don't either.
Okay. I'll let it be.
Although, I think telephony and telephony are different things. Telephony is a thing. Telephony is an adjective.
Okay, so you want your phone to be more telephony, or you want it to be less telephony?
Sometimes I just want my phone to be more telephony.
Well, you know, you should do what I do. You know those old-fashioned, you know, the handsets that they had on old rotary phones?
Yes.
I have one of those that you, instead of connecting up to a rotary phone, it plugs into the jack on your regular phone. So you can have a regular receiver up to your head while you're talking on your regular phone.
Mm.
It's a novelty gift.
You know what would be cool? A rotary dialer.
For what?
For Android.
That would be interesting. Why don't you get on that? You've developed apps. You could do a rotary dialer.
It appears that there already are several.
Really? Do you see what you learn when you have conversations with interesting people, Derek? I didn't even know that anybody would come up with a rotary dialer.
And apparently there are several.
Yes. Slick rotary dialer. Rotary dialer free. old school dialer, rotary phone, old school rotary dialer, old phone dialer, rotary dialer, rotary dialer, rotary dialer pro, rotary dialer pro, apparently there are two, old call dialer, dial R, rotary phone dialer, Texas rotary phone dialer, landline phone dialer. Oh, they're busy. See, you learn something new every day, even during a podcast.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. But you know what I've been experimenting with? I think I mentioned it to you at one point. I have a VoIP account through CallCentric.
And?
They give me a phone number for free in New York. Free being relative.
Ah.
Well, no. They require that you pay the 9/11 recovery fee because they have to provide you. If you have an incoming number, it doesn't matter that you don't intend to make a 911 call from the number or it's an incoming only line. You have to give them a 9/11 thing because they're required by the government, unless you say that you don't live in the United States, which I refuse to do because I'm not a liar. They make you pay the 911 recovery fee.
Sure.
So now if I dial out from the phone that I didn't want to dial out from, I'll get 911.
Congratulations.
Yes. So I was able to secure a free phone line in the 845 area code and the 631 area code. And it's because it's distressed inventory.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't understand how you can have distressed inventory on a phone number.
I don't either.
Well, just in case you don't believe me, if you go to the CallCentric site, callcentric.com, in the lower left-hand corner, you'll see dirt cheap phone numbers overstock sale. So basically, they are currently overstocked on phone numbers, so they are giving a discount on some phone numbers, and they do have an offer of a free phone number in certain parts of New York.
Are some parts of New York more desirable for phone numbers than others?
Well, that's interesting to say. So let's say for the sake of argument, I want a free phone number in New York. I have my choice of the 631, 845, or 914 area codes.
How many area codes does New York have?
Plenty. Well, 631 is part of Long Island. 845 and 914 are Westchester, Rockland, Sullivan, Dutchess. So right outside, you know, these are all ones in the vicinity of New York City. I guess they had access. For example, I can get a phone number in, they give me a list of cities. I can get a phone number in Tuxedo. Would you be interested in signing up for a phone number in Tuxedo?
I don't know where that is.
New York. We covered this. They're all New York.
Okay, but you said it's in New York, but it's...
Why do you...
Tuxedo? You mean New York State or New York City?
New York State.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought we were saying that New York City had multiple area codes.
Oh, it does. They consolidated them back. They consolidated them back in the 80s, and then they broke them back up again. So 212 is Manhattan, but also Manhattan ran out of phone numbers. So we also have things like 646, which is overflow for Manhattan. Then, of course, you get into 631, 516, 718, 21. I get 347 is overflow in the Bronx. And I forget, what's that new one? 626 is the new one. Don't want to forget 626. They just started that one. I don't know. Why would you want to forget it? Are you anti-626?
Moving on.
Yes.
LTE is all kind of cool and stuff, but I just don't have anybody that calls me. I have my cell phone number, and that's pretty much all I need.
Nobody ever calls you?
I have family that calls my cell phone. Yeah, Anybody else is normally an advertisement, so I don't even pick up. I mean, our house phone, our landline, stays on silent.
Okay. But I was going to tell you my brilliant plan to set up Wi-Fi calling without actually having to set up Wi-Fi calling.
And how does that work?
If I get a CallCentric number, which has unlimited incoming calls, then all I have to do is direct the Google Voice number at that and then tell it that if there's no answer at that line because I'm not connected, to forward the call to the phone number that Ting gave me. I've just created unlimited incoming calls at no charge to me. And let's say hypothetically that Google Voice ceases to exist, assuming that they give me a grace period, which they probably would before they and the ability to port my number out, right?
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is set up call forwarding, port the number to CallCentric, and set up call forwarding, no answer, to forward back to the cell phone.
And you're not going to get charged for any of that?
Some of it.
Seems like a lot of bouncing around.
We'll see. I just have to get it right. I'm still working on this. I'm figuring that by the time I solve this, Ting will offer Wi-Fi dialing and VoIP because they've said that that's a goal for them this year. But if anybody has a crazy scheme based on the one that I just suggested, drop us a line. While I may not put it into real production, I do love playing with crazy schemes. Hmm. Just for the fun of it. Why do you think I have a VoIP number? They aren't as popular as they once were. Anyway, moving along. Actually, one's a fax line. I have two VoIP numbers. One I actually directed as a fax line that sends me an email if somebody wants to send me a fax. That's worth $1.50 a month sometimes. For the people who insist on faxes. Moving along. A federal jury has decided that Google owes SimpleAir $85 million over a push messaging patent infringement.
Isn't that interesting?
Is there anything that somebody hasn't patented a version of?
Well, it's not so much that. It's that I'm pretty sure SimpleAir relative to Google is kind of tiny, and yet they won.
Why couldn't they? They're only in it to sue. They're not in it for anything other than that, so they can be prepared to gamble, make an investment, because they just got an $85 million payoff. I'd gamble on that one, too.
Yep.
Then we get to the people.
Never mind. I thought it was an actual real company. I mean, because SimpleAir doesn't sound like a patent trolling company. It sounds like a, you know, they're trying to do something. But no, if you go to their website, it says SimpleAir is an investor-owned technology licensing company with interest in intellectual property. Blah-de-blah-de-blah.
So they don't do anything. They just make other people pay them.
Yep.
So let's talk about your friends over at Sprint. So you know how you call up Sprint and somebody answers the phone?
Yes.
That might be a bit harder in the future. They're cutting 1,850 jobs, shutting down underperforming stores, and apparently over 1,000 of those jobs are in their call center. But you know what they say about service companies. Don't call us, we'll call you. We know your phone number.
Here in Florida. These are not, you know, Indian call centers. These are domestic U.S. jobs. Those 1,000 jobs apparently are coming from call centers in Texas and Florida.
Well, you know what I find interesting? You know who owns Sprint now, right?
Verizon?
No, SoftBank. Remember they were bought out by a Japanese firm?
Yes.
So the chairman has said that he thinks that Sprint needs to improve because it's not good enough. And apparently is throwing all his energy in front of buying T-Mobile instead of improving his own network.
Well, I think he is trying to improve his own network.
What I'm saying is that every time he's in the news, he doesn't seem to be talking about Sprint. He doesn't seem to be working on the company that he actually has acquired. He seems to be working on more acquisitions, which is interesting. Because ever since SoftBank took over, have you heard from Dan Hesse? Remember, he used to be he used to be in all those commercials, but yet we're hearing from the chairman. So we're hearing from somebody. We're not hearing from somebody talking about how wonderful Sprint is. We're hearing from somebody saying that Sprint is inadequate. We're going to improve it. And the way we're going to improve it is to buy T-Mobile. That doesn't bode well for Sprint improving. And I say that having committed to buying service from a Sprint MVNO, which, who knows? The nice thing is I just bought a Nexus 5, so if I don't like the Sprint MVNO, I can just pull the card out of it and stick in a T-Mobile SIM, or stick in an AT&T SIM, or stick in a Solave SIM, or stick in a Straight Talk SIM, or whatever other SIM I want, and move.
Yep.
That's why I like the idea of the Nexus 5.
I concur, even though I'm never going to use that particular feature.
Well, let's say you go... Let's say you visit... Approve. Well, let's say you visit... where are you going... You were going to Washington?
Sure.
Okay, you go to Washington and somebody says, let's go visit Vancouver for the day. You cross the border into Canada. You don't want to pay insane roaming charges. So you pull the card out of your phone, you go into the local 7-Eleven and you buy yourself a Fido card.
Ooh, can I do that?
You stick it in your, you take your Sprint SIM, you stick it into your SIM card holder, which you smartly remembered to bring. Otherwise known as a little plastic, you know, the thing that they give with micro SD cards.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in there, you take the card out of its packaging, you stick it in your phone, you put $20 on it, and there you are on Fido temporarily.
Yay!
Sounds like a good idea to me, because I've always wanted to visit Toronto. I've never been. It's been on my list, along with many other places. And I do have vacation coming up, although my next vacation I'm actually spending at home. It's a staycation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that at some point because I have to plan recording duties. We may have to adjust slightly. Holiday season. Anyway, moving along. So Google Play now allows different change logs for production, beta, and alpha versions. That's good. I don't know if it's really a yay. More of a good for them sort of thing. Would you call that a yay?
Okay.
Well, I thought it was a good thing. So now if you have more than one version, you can have more than one changelog. Good to know.
So what? You just like do all the alphas get combined when you go beta and the betas get combined when you go production? That is...
Well, no. Basically, when you drop the version, you can have a changelog.
Right, but you can't tell Google Play, I want the alpha version of this.
Well, no, you have to be authorized for it. Remember, you have to give them your account, and then you're on the alpha track. So basically, the store now has the capability, based on whether or not you're in a beta or an alpha, to display the changelog for that when you load up the Play Store. So this is essentially customizing to the end user.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought we were talking about it allowed different changelogs for different release stages of normal apps, not just the Play Store app.
Well, no, this would be the Play Store apps. This would be the display. If you remember a while back, they made it so that you could have an alpha or beta version of your app deployed through the Play Store for a group of users who signed up for a beta or an alpha.
I don't remember that.
Okay. You can sign up for a beta or an alpha, and then your account is whitelisted to see the alpha version of that. So it would automatically be deployed to your phone. So you get updates. So let's say let's use an app that we've talked about before, the Myth TV for Android app developed by Dan Fry.
Happy birthday.
Yes. I believe it has a beta track where you could sign up with your Google Plus account. I can't, because my Google Plus account and the app and the account that I buy apps on are actually two different accounts, which means I can't comment on any apps because there is no way to do that other than setting up another Google Plus account. And how many of those can a guy have? I have four Google apps and or Gmail accounts, and I can't have them all have Google Plus accounts, which I really think is a deficiency of the system. I should be able to link multiple Gmail accounts to one single Google Plus account if I so choose. But we'll get into that another day. So anyway, so once you sign up, the betas will, once they upload them to the Play Store, they will be pushed to your phone because you are now part of the beta. So now the latest addition is that if you do that, when you load up the entry in the Play Store logged into your account, it'll show you the change log for the version you're on instead of only allowing one change log no matter what version you're on.
Nice. I approve.
Okay. So the White House Communications Agency is testing smartphones from Samsung and LG for official use by the president to replace his BlackBerry.
Ooh.
Yes. Are you familiar with the president's BlackBerry?
It's got like special chips in it, doesn't it?
Well, not only that, it's only allowed to call 10 numbers. And
I wonder if they're all on speed dial or does he have to remember them?
I don't know.
You know, for security's sake.
Well, you know that someday the president's BlackBerry will be in the presidential museum. Because as you may recall, he had to fight because prior to being the president, he was addicted to having a BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he had to fight to be allowed a BlackBerry, even though it has to be a specially modified BlackBerry for his security. So now, it will likely be the official presidential phone before he leaves office. But they are working on the next generation of official presidential phones. You know, for all we know, it could be the Boeing phone.
The Boeing phone, that's...
We talked about it. You don't remember that?
I do.
You had comments? Okay. So, moving along, we hope the president likes his Android device. Gmail is now only HTTPS instead of it being an option. So Google has decided that Gmail will now mandate encryption.
Sweet.
I think everybody should do that. Not everybody who in the universe. I think that everybody who has a reason to offer a secure version should not offer an insecure version. Once it makes sense for you to offer a secure version of your site, that should be the only version you offer.
I pretty much concur.
Yeah. For example, Android Buffet. Do I have a need to offer an HTTPS version of it?
Probably not.
Well, I'm not doing commerce. I'm not doing anything. You know, maybe I would want the admin page to be encrypted. I could probably get a self-signed certificate for that if I really wanted to. Probably won't. But the point is, there's no reason why Gmail shouldn't do it. There's no reason why everybody who offers that site shouldn't. Anyway, moving along. Chromecast is now available in 11 more countries. So if you are listening from Canada, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom, welcome to Chromecast.
Yay, Spain, go Spain. Barcelona beat Real Madrid the other day.
Okay, well, just in order to be fair to the rest of the countries that you just burned, yay, Finland.
What about Canada, Denmark, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Sweden, and the UK?
I'll get there. I just picked one at random. You know, Finland, the country where I quite like to be. No, not a Monty Python fan. Okay. Sorry, that was why I picked Finland.
Okay.
They have a song.
I'm sure they all have a song.
No, I meant they have a Monty Python song.
Ah.
Yes. Anyway, Google Play Services 4.3 now incorporates Google Analytics, specifically Analytics for Apps, Tag Manager, and a new full drive API into services, and the new address API. So new APIs.
Yay, new APIs.
Well, there is one other API that we have to talk about. We have to talk about the Android Wear project. Did you hear about this, Jerry, last week?
I think so.
Okay, so Google announced that they had a developer preview of the Android Wear SDK. So basically, they aren't making any devices. They have partnered with various manufacturers to make devices, and their part of the partnership is that they've come up with the software, and it's Android. Well, it's
certainly pretty. Certainly prettier than the current Pebbles.
Well, you do know that Pebble has sold 400,000 devices since January of 2013?
I do now. I don't buy it, but...
Why wouldn't you buy it? I'm not saying why wouldn't you purchase the item. I'm saying why do you not believe that Pebble sold 400,000?
Oh, I believe Pebble sold 400,000.
You are just not interested in a Pebble.
I'm just not going to buy it.
I'm fine with that. So, I would not have bought a Pebble at the current list price for a Pebble. I only bought a Pebble because I got it much cheaper than the current list price.
Got to have a toy to play with.
I'm addicted. I need a 12-step program. That's another story. Anyway, LG and Motorola announced their Android Wear smartwatches, which look very nice. So would you buy a Motorola 360?
Probably not, because it's Motorola.
Why? They're not Lenovo yet. Actually, that may be an improvement. It depends on your perspective. Would you buy an LG G-Watch?
Sure is pretty.
Yeah, well, I think that this area is getting into its maturity. Right now, all I know is my watch was malfunctioning earlier in the day.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I think it's because when I hooked it up to the Nexus 5, I have... You know how when you start changing to a new phone, certain apps you have to reconfigure?
Yes.
Well, the problem is that I have the Notification Center app, which is the one that sends the notifications to the Pebble that I use.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the built-in notifications, because they're still using the Accessibility API, and Notification Center uses the Notification Listener API. So,
okay.
Well, the problem is that I have to tell it to exclude or include certain apps in, you know, to send to the Pebble. So the problem is that it includes the Android system notifications by default, so I have to turn those off. So every time I walk into a Wi-Fi zone, it tells me. I don't need to know. I do not need to know I've walked into my house and connected to my home network. So I just have to tune it, because it was vibrating every 5 minutes. And when it does that, especially if I take it off, it actually succeeded in vibrating itself off a dresser.
That's funny.
Yeah, well. So, moving along, Pocket Cast 4.5 is out for Android. It's a major update, and it adds Chromecast support. But do you remember our conversation where I was saying how I wanted to be able to take my podcast from the phone, send it to the television, and then bring it back to the phone?
Yes.
So, they have that now.
Oh, wow.
But I don't necessarily like their solution.
No, why not?
Well, their solution is that you always download the video version, and they've now created an option to play the video version as audio.
Ah.
So.
And you just don't like downloading the video unless you need the video.
Well, bear in mind, I no longer have expandable storage on my phone.
Ah.
Although I did
You do have a lot of storage.
Yeah, I did buy the larger version, but I did come up with something. I was very
concerned. Subscribed to both?
Well, no, I was very concerned about not being able to expand the storage on my phone.
Yes.
So I've come up with a solution.
What's that?
I ordered a device to solve that problem. So it is a Kickstarter project that is outside of Kickstarter. I emphasize that because I don't believe in Kickstarter. Well, actually, I believe it exists. I don't believe in Kickstarter because it seems a little too much like gambling for me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a device that was originally on Kickstarter, but they are now selling as a business transaction. So it is a mini micro SD card reader for Android.
It
is the smallest one I could find. Because I do have a USB OTG cable, and I could hook that in. But that would be a bit unwieldy. But this thing, I could conceive leaving on the phone for a bit while I was using it. So that's menova.com, M-E-N-O-V-A. And it's $12 plus shipping.
Not bad.
Well, no, but you see the size of it? It's designed to be placed on a keychain, and it's really tiny. So I could see having this on the bottom of the phone and being able to, let's say, transfer music from it without having to do things or something like that. Or watch a movie on an airplane or anywhere if I decided. I actually don't watch movies on my phone, but I like to be prepared because it will also work with the Nexus 7. I just like the size of it.
Sure.
I'm just afraid I'm going to lose it. Look at that thing.
I don't actually have a link to it.
Why? I put it into the chat room. Aren't you in there? Are you telling me you haven't been in the chat room all this time?
Not all this time. It is tiny.
Okay. I'll compromise.
No, really, it is tiny.
Oh, you saw the picture?
Yeah.
I thought you meant the chat room was tiny.
No.
Okay. So it's a nice device. Again, MeNova.com. And we'll see when that arrives. So anyway, when I talked to the people at Pocket Casts on Twitter, by the way, they didn't respond to my suggestion that they're welcome to stop by and discuss the matter in person, relatively speaking. Well, no, I would welcome somebody from Pocket Casts on the show. I love talking to people.
You do.
I meant about Android. That's why I'm on this show.
Ah, I knew there was a reason.
If I didn't want to talk about the topic, we could have canceled the show 193 episodes ago. basically, they commented that they were thinking about not about the switching between audio and video, but I had commented to them and asked if they had actually thought of treating audio and video as different versions of the same thing instead of completely different things. So when you go into their app to add podcasts that are in their directory, the video and the audio don't appear as entries under the same heading. They appear completely independent. So because they have a directory, there's no reason why they couldn't have them together. They're running that on their own server.
Mm. Yeah.
They do a lot of it on their own server, from what I understand.
That's what makes Pocket Cast so special, different.
Well, that's one of the reasons. That's also why they got so upset about that whole Amazon App Store thing a few years ago.
Sure.
They gave out their app for free, and it was costing them server resources because they do account syncing.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they cache certain popular feeds. Not every feed, but the ones that are most frequently accessed on their server. So they crawl. Anyway, Google's keyboard was updated with suggestions and corrections from Google's apps and services. So if you have the Google stock keyboard or want to download it from the Google Play Store, you can get that. If you are still interested in Chromecast and you are British, because you now get a Chromecast, BBC's iPlayer now supports Chromecast. Can I get a yay for BBC?
Yay, BBC. Yes. Go, BBC.
Okay. If you are a Skype user, Skype has updated to correct a large amount of battery issues.
Which is nice.
Well, if your app is killing battery, you want to update it.
Yes.
If you use Pushbullet, which I've mentioned on this program before, it is now available as an IFTTT channel.
Ooh, and if you don't know what IFTTT is, then it's if this, then that, which is kind of cool.
Basically, the idea is connecting internet services together to form interesting links. So, for example, Jerry could say, I want a notification pushed to my phone via Pushbullet every time the price of Bitcoin exceeds a certain exchange rate.
Would you say that IFTTT is the pipe of the internet?
It is a pipe for the internet. No, there is competition on that, but that's what they want to be. They want to create a pipe. So you've just identified their goal. I wouldn't say they are the. They are a.
Okay.
So the next one.
I think they're the.
Well, they are the preeminent one, yes. So Chris Lacey, I'm not sure if you know the developer. That's the guy who did Action Launcher.
Ooh, Action Launcher. Go ahead.
Well, no, he's done a few things over the years. I think he did Tweet Lanes. Basically, he has this reputation for coming up with new and interesting twists on old ideas. Essentially, most people who do launchers do add-ons to the Google style launcher. He tried to come up with a different launching paradigm. So his launcher has, instead of an app drawer, it has an app slider from one side. So he tries different things. So his latest app is Link Bubble. Did you watch the video?
I have not.
Okay, so I've been trying out Link Bubble. The whole goal of Link Bubble is that, let's say that you are, name a program you commonly use on your phone, Jerry?
Hangouts. No, Flow, Reddit Flow.
Oh, okay, that's a perfect one for this example. So I needed something.
That's why I changed.
Okay, so you're reading things in Reddit using your Flow, and you come across a link, and you click the link, and that takes you into your browser, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the idea...
Kind of, but yeah.
Well, I'm saying that's what a link would normally do.
Right.
So basically, this is a browser, sort of. When you click a link in an app that you've designated, it loads the web page in the background. So while it's loading, you can continue reading your app rather than waiting.
That is super perfect.
And then once the page is loaded, the little bubble, which is off to the corner, will animate, indicating that it is ready to be looked at. And you can look, because it can store things in the background, you can load multiple links if you have the pro version. It'll also let you share it or add it to a service.
That seems super spiffy.
That's why I've been trying it. I've been using it with my tiny, tiny RSS reader. So, for example, here is a random article from the other day. Today is New York City Macaroon Day.
Oh, my gosh.
That was three
days. Macaroon Day, you say?
That was 3 days ago.
Oh.
I didn't get to find out in time. But it says that there were macaroons being offered, and I could click that and link to more information on New York City Macaroon Day, and I would get this little bubble on the side of the screen, and when I clicked the bubble, it would bring up the article because it had been loading in the background. So, and then I can drag the bubble in order to either share it with something, exit out, or whatever preset sharing I've done. So my most popular thing can be a little bubble there, and everything else can be the share icon. It also keeps a history of all the things that I've link bubbled. And it said that I've been saved 7.1 seconds per link. So it has a history of everything that I link bubbled. You can, of course, purge that. So it's a cute little app. Not necessarily sure it's worth the $5, but I think if you use it enough, it would be. $5 is for the pro version. There is a basic free version. If you want something a little stranger, Marcus Red adds a red link to Gmail's rich notifications. So if you want a red link, which currently isn't available in the rich notification, this thing, if you activate it, will add one in dynamically.
Nice. You know what I want?
What?
A friggin' delete button.
I thought there was a delete button.
No, there's an archive and a reply, but there's no delete.
Okay, well, I turned off rich notifications because it made my arm vibrate. I should fix that. Anyway, Google Search now supports take a photo as a command. So this is part of the whole OK Google thing. So you can say, OK Google, take a photo.
Opening app.
See? It'll open my photo app. I keep playing with...
Does it take a picture?
Yes.
So it doesn't just open it. It opens it and takes a picture.
Well, I'll try it again. 1 second. OK, Google. Take a photo.
Opening app.
I don't know if it automatically takes a photo. I just have that rotating thing on the screen. But it does open your camera app.
Okay. I'm not sure why that made news, but we'll go with it. Interesting.
I thought it was interesting. They keep expanding. I heard today that Google Now is on your desktop. If you upgrade your Chrome. So here's one for you. Duolingo's update has introduced Lingots, a virtual currency to use in Duolingo and a shop to spend it in.
Is it blockchain-based?
I think it's like a gift card currency. I don't think it's really designed to exist outside the program.
Ah.
You know, in-app purchases are big now.
Sure.
Okay. So, Jerry, I have one final question for you.
Fire away.
Well, as an experienced Nexus 5 user, what should you suggest that I do with this Nexus 5? What interesting things can I try out? What are your best Nexus 5 advices?
I don't have any. Should I?
Ooh, my background is a picture of a tiny house in France.
A tiny house in France?
Yes, it's a tiny house in France. Well, I was trying out that Musée app, the one that shows different backgrounds and blurriness throughout the day.
Right.
So I added in addition to the standard art, I added in Trey Ratcliffe's picture archive. I thought that was interesting. So I keep getting all of these interesting pictures throughout the day that are downloading on Wi-Fi, like the epic harbor of Buenos Aires. Well, no, it's nice because it blurs, so you can't see it unless you're deliberately looking. So most of the time it sort of looks like a, you know, just sort of a nice pattern. But if you click it, it turns into a nice clear picture. I'm actually enjoying it because I could add in my own pictures. And then if I swipe to the left, I get a smiling picture of Dan Fry.
Nah.
Wish happy birthday. That and the weather. By the way, it's going to snow here tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Did y'all not get the memo that it's spring now?
Oh, we got the memo. Apparently Mother Nature missed it.
Apparently.
Should be interesting. But if you have any interesting Nexus 5 tips, there is one that's been driving me crazy.
What's that?
Well, I think it's a custom setting. You know the window shade where you pull it down and there are the notifications?
Yes.
And then if you click the button in the corner, it switches from the notifications to Wi-Fi, mobile network, battery, brightness, etc.
Yes.
Now, on some of the custom versions that I've played with, there's an option there for basically muting the phone. I really want an option there for muting the phone. There must be a way to do it. How do you customize the window pane? Or can you not customize the window pane? Because I'm not particularly interested in having an icon for brightness. I don't really change my brightness all the time.
You know, interestingly enough, I do.
Really?
I don't change the brightness so much as I'll turn the auto off.
Yeah, but that Not only that, on the Samsung, they had a custom window shade, and it also had an auto-rotate disable. Mm. So my problem is, while I like the phone to rotate sometimes, I usually do leave it in a rotation locked position. Because for some reason, sometimes when I'm holding the phone in bed, which I do every so often, what ends up happening is that it rotates into a landscape mode and it drives me crazy.
Sure.
So these are things I'm going to be looking into solutions for. If anybody has any suggestions, I'm always looking forward to suggestions. Otherwise, I'll probably just have to put a widget somewhere.
There, I believe you do have a widget for auto rotate and for sound.
Yeah, but I like having it in that window shade. I think that's a good place to put it, and I have extra room there.
There is extra room.
Yeah, so I think this is something that I think I should be able to add optional settings there. There must be something customize your window shade. I haven't looked into it much yet, but if there is a way, we will find it, right?
Yes, we will.
Because we are.
Or you will.
Well, we are intelligent people who are capable of finding these things.
So they say.
Well, we would hope we're intelligent people. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program for this week. I hope you had fun, Jerry.
It was mildly amusing. Yes, I had fun. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, that let's see. That means we have to go through that rundown where we tell people where they can find us and all that stuff.
Woohoo!
So if you are looking for Jerry, what you need to do is you need to get on the interstate and you need to drive to Jacksonville, Florida. And he will graciously wave to you as you pass by his house.
Yep. And if you actually come by my house, we can have lunch.
Yes. Well, you do realize that now I'm going to have to fly down to Jacksonville just to ensure that I can get lunch from you.
Okay. You know what'll happen?
We'll have lunch.
We'll have lunch.
That seems like an intelligent thing to happen when it's lunchtime. Anyway, if you want to find me, what you have to do is you need to click your heels together and say, there is no place like home.
No place like home, he says.
If that doesn't work, you can send me an email. The podcast can be reached at podcast@androidbuffet.com. And of course, we are available on all of the necessary social medias. Our name on all of the necessary social medias is Android Buffet. Rather than going through all of them, I'm just going to say, if you are on a social network and we don't have the Android Buffet name, please send us a message and we will get the Android Buffet name on said social network. Assuming it is
unless somebody's squatting it.
Well, if we can't get it, we can't get it. We could get Android Buffet 2. We'll find something.
The real Android Buffet.
Yes. Either way, please don't consider that a challenge. We are on, of course, Facebook, Google+, Twitter, what have you. And of course, our page on Google Plus is run by Kevin McLaughlin. We like to give him a shout out and a thank you for testing Google Wallet functionality with us.
Yes. And also for the funds. That was also seriously, dude, thank you.
I appreciate it. And I will be using it to fund more show related stuff.
Not me.
Well, just remember, $14 of it is going towards my state income tax, but the rest of it is pure app purchase.
Yep.
Yes. For example, I just bought Link Bubble. If you buy it, you can also enjoy it. Hopefully I'll be enjoying it for a while. Sometimes I regret my app purchases. They don't always pan out as I hope. I think this app has the potential to be something that could continue to evolve and be enjoyed by me.
Or maybe.
Well, sometimes. For example, I've gone through 3 launchers that I've paid for over the years, and I'm currently using the Google Experience Launcher, which is free.
What is the Google Experience Launcher? Is that the native one?
Yeah, the one that's built in that has the swipe for Google Now. Ah. And if I get tired of it, I'll go back to my old launcher. The only thing that annoys me is the icons are just so big.
Are they?
I feel like I'm wasting a lot of real estate.
You can group them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying I feel that if the icons were slightly smaller, I could have an extra row. And some of the third-party launchers allow you to do that, which is why I've used third-party launchers.
You know, you have extra pages, too.
You can do that with most launchers now, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have a repeat of last week where you said I sounded like a Charlie Brown character, because you just sounded like one.
Yeah, I know.
I hear he's coming back to the movies.
Is he?
For the first time since 1980.
I know there's a Muppets movie out.
Yeah, I may see that. I'm a Muppet fan. I like the Swedish Chef.
My wife and daughter went to see it yesterday. Yeah, yesterday.
Don't spoil it for me.
And my wife and my daughter really enjoyed it, I'm really impressed that my wife enjoyed it, because it's not really the type of movie that I would expect her to like. But she said it was really real done and funny. So,
well, you know,
it's got that going for it.
I appreciate the classic nature of a Muppet movie. And as I said, I am a big fan of the Swedish Chef.
Well, who isn't?
Yes. I don't know if he had a big role in the movie, though. Anyway, moving along from the Swedish Chef, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. And, of course, the unofficial organization that sponsors this podcast that doesn't really exist, at least according to my accountant, is the Winnica Media Group.
Hi, Winnica.
Yes, it is a figment of my imagination. In reality, Jerry, you are just a hobby.
Yes.
Yes, at least according to
the IRS.
Well, I did send him an email and say, at what point does it not become a hobby? I'd like something to shoot for.
When you make money? When you have a profit?
Well, technically, if you combine all of the stuff that I do online, I make a profit. Not a very big profit. Actually, a minuscule profit. Android Buffet does not make a profit. But, some of the stuff that I do, I do some web posting and a few other things. Technically, aggregate, it makes a profit. Not much. He also told me that I could reimburse myself for my profits.
Sure.
Well, no, I have a separate bank account. I've made the whole thing self-sustaining. So let's say that we do an ad. It goes into the account that pays the hosting bill.
Nice.
That's separate from my normal banking. So as long as there's money in the account, I don't have to invest anymore. So from what I can tell, because I have not put money into the account in a year and a half, I'm at least self-sustaining, even if I have to pay income tax. Oh, well, there's my financial situation. If anybody is interested in hearing more, it's not that interesting. Anyway, any final thoughts, Jerry, before we complete our conversation for this evening and resume and reconvene at 10 p.m. Monday, the 31st of March? Jerry?
Yes?
Do you have any final programming notes?
I don't.
Oh, okay. By the way, next month there are two Mondays where I believe I will be unavailable.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's, I would like
have to do with Semana Santa?
No, Passover. One of those Mondays I will be sitting around eating matzah, and the other Monday I'll be sitting around eating matzah.
Are we going to reschedule for a Tuesday or a Wednesday, or are we just going to skip that week?
I would not think of skipping. I have taken some time off for vacation, so I will have time later in the week.
Okay.
So I will talk to you about that later. That would be the podcast, I believe, on the 14th and the 21st.
Ooh, 2 weeks in a row.
Well, the holiday's 8 days, so it straddles two. So the evening of the 14th, I will be up until 2 a.m. recounting the Exodus from Egypt.
Sure, because what else are you going to do?
Not recount the Exodus from Egypt?
That's probably going to be my plan. You can't have my plan.
I can, but I'm not going to. And then on the 21st is the tail end of the holiday, and I'll be cleaning up all week. Usually my parents assist in the cleaning up, but they're going back down to Florida because they don't like to leave my grandparents alone for too long.
I don't
blame them. I volunteered to clean everything up. I'm a good son, I hope.
You are. Well, I'm proud of you.
Well, no, they do nice things for me. You know, they brought me in. Actually, no, is that a nice thing? I suppose I'm mixed on that issue. Is bringing me into the world a nice thing or sort of a mixed bag?
You can put me under the I'm a fan.
Okay. I know, but, you know, it's sort of, you know, life is complicated.
But, you know, if they didn't, I probably wouldn't miss you.
Well, how would you have had the chance?
Exactly.
But if you're ever transported to an alternate universe where I was never born?
I would miss you.
Oh, good.
Oh, bro hug.
Yeah, but I like the idea of alternate universes. They sound very interesting. That's where I would take my vacation if I could. In an alternate reality. Sounds like a fun place to visit. I'm being weird again, aren't I?
Let's just call it a night.
Okay. I've had a weird day.
Oh, God.
Haven't we all?
Yeah.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. Tune in next week, where we will be equally weird, or at least some derivation thereof. And we welcome your feedback, as always. And
good night, folks.
There's still something I'm forgetting to do, but if somebody remembers what it is, just drop me a line. Good night.
Press the stop button.
No, I'm about to do that right now.
Oh.